I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. This is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. I am coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. A big shout out and thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs for helping to put this show together and make sure that it runs smooth. And thanks to everyone who's participated up until now. Listen, I've been here with you for 3 hours. I have one more hour to go. If you missed anything, you can always listen for free on a radio.com app. You can hit the rewind function. If you missed anything, if you called up, if you want to hear yourself, get the radio.com app. You can also take it with you anywhere. Put it on your phone, your tablet, etc., etc., etc. But tonight has really been about the business of sports. We talked about Russell Wilson and, you know, his power play right now with the Seahawks, basically telling them, get your act together. I'm not asking for a trade, but I put y'all on notice. Management for the Seahawks needs to get it together. We briefly spoke about Deshaun Watson. Similar situation, obviously. We learned that he spoke to new head coach David Culley, told him the same thing. I'm not showing up. And then last hour, we had a conversation with Major League Baseball player, former National League MVP Ryan Howard. And with everything going on in the world of baseball right now, Kevin Mather, former CEO of the Seattle Mariners, he was talking crazy earlier this week. He was caught on video actually speaking, admitting to the fact that, yes, we manipulated service time for our prospects so we would not have to pay them now. And, yeah, we can utilize them and just pay them later. Call them up in a few months. They lose less a year of service time. We pay them later. Among other ridiculous things, he resigned because he sounded like an ass. And so I asked Ryan Howard his thoughts on this business of baseball where the teams utilize the players and the players don't necessarily have the same type of say-so and the union needs to do a better job. This is what Ryan Howard had to say.
It's a business first. And that's what I think people outside of baseball don't understand. They see the players, they see how much these players get made or that how much the players get paid. And it's one of those things to where it's like, dude, what are you complaining about? Like, you just made X amount of millions of dollars. Well, the person that is signing off on that contract has a B in the beginning of their bank account. So they have billions of dollars. So what it's coming down to is understanding, first and foremost, it's a business. And that's what it comes down to. The team, the organization is always going to look out for its best interest as well as the player needs to do that for themselves. So, I mean, it's not a surprise in terms of that kind of stuff where teams will look to try to manipulate, guys' time coming up or trying to potentially affect how they may get paid down the line because it's trying to keep that in the best interest of the team first and foremost.
Yeah, best interest of the team. But Major League Baseball doesn't understand it's shorting itself in the long run. It can make all the money it wants. It could save all the money it wants, but it has huge problems. Where one player like a Bauer can make more money as in one individual than an entire team. That Major League Baseball can pretty much do an awful job marketing its future. That the average age of a viewer of baseball continues to go up. All of it comes to a head eventually. And my question to you is, and the phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. Do you believe that this is okay for Major League Baseball? That this is just business as usual? Or is Major League Baseball hurting itself in the long run? Ron is calling from California. Ron, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call, JR. Ronnie Oakley, East Oakland, real Oakland. And you're absolutely right. It's a bad business decision for one player to make the entire salary than other players are coming up. I'll take your answer off the air. The best thing that happened to baseball was that little black girl who pitched in the Little League World Series. But what's going on is here. A single black mother here in Oakland, she buys her son a basketball, go play. She buys her son a football, go play. But that same mother, she has to buy a baseball bat and a baseball glove and a baseball, go play. It's hard for her to do that on her own. So baseball is really hurting itself. But now, can you hear me, JR?
Hey, Ron, I hear you loud and clear. Finish up.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not listening to my radio. Now, what Good. Has to happen is this. Basketball has the hip-hop. The little white kids, they don't follow all basketball. Football, not so much, but it's a raw start. But this is where it is. Baseball has to come back to the black African-American community, and then all the little white kids and all the other kids going to follow that. I'm going to say this too, JR, and I'm gone. I'll take my hands off the air. The hardest two sports are golf and baseball. Love you, brother. East Oakland, the real Oakland. And my.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron, for calling from California. Yeah, Martin Luther King once said something about the little black boys and little white girls and just little everybody. I don't believe Major League Baseball has a lifeline in the African-American community. Can Major League Baseball go back into the community? Can they eventually move it back up into, I don't know, 25%, 30% of the league? I don't believe so. I think that time has passed. You know, there's a reason. If you think about the sports globally, there is a solid reason, as you already laid out, that soccer is a global sport. Football, soccer. Basketball is a global sport. You can pick up a basketball and you can play all day long. You can practice, you can ply your trade all day long by yourself and with a friend. You think about soccer, there are kids all over the world who are kicking around soccer balls that ain't soccer balls, that are laying out two posts and kicking whatever they have in between them. And so as we move in a world where we really think about technology and you want to look at things that are fast-paced and moving, as the world becomes more social digitally and less social in quote-unquote, I never thought I'd say this, real life, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any human being anywhere in many places overall who are going to go out. And let's think about this. How many kids by themselves, out of necessity, are going outside with 10 friends, 20 friends to go outside and play baseball? Where are you finding that? You got to tell the kid to put the iPad down first. It's not even turn off the television set. It's put the phone down. And baseball doesn't realize that. Ryan is calling up from Charlotte. Ryan, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, I'll be very quick. I have two comments and a question. And actually, you touched on something a bit ago, and the previous caller just now said something I was going to say also. But I'm with you. It's a bad business move, and you can definitely tell that the MLB Players Association and the owners, they're so far apart on everything now, and it's more and more obvious now. And you know, it's not getting better. We're in serious trouble. So I agree with you, but I'm gonna flip it a little bit. I'm staying on the topic, but I'm gonna flip it because I had a comment and a question. I'll take it all off air. My comment is what the previous caller was talking about. Also, I go in the community a lot too, and I do a lot of community work with the kids. And you know, I'm 40 years old. I grew up, baseball was my first love as a kid. When I was a kid, I loved baseball. You go to the park on Saturday mornings, it was a baseball game. Everybody was playing baseball. Football and basketball now are now. And I go in the community a lot. I bring football equipment, basketball equipment. You know, you have over 100 kids wanting to play football and basketball. I tried to revive baseball. I tried to bring baseball equipment out there. There was no interest. I mean, there was literally maybe three kids that wanted to play baseball. The interest in baseball was not there. Football and basketball, well, over 100 kids. Over,
okay,
100
Ryan,
kids.
Let's narrow it down, Ryan. I eagerly want to hear what you got to say, but we got a lot of callers here. Go ahead, man. Hurry up.
Okay. And then my question to you, I'll leave it at that. My question to you is, I think something else that's hurting baseball too is, you know, what happened with the Houston Astros and how now you've got both managers that were, both coaches that were involved in that are now back in the league. You know, Alex Cora's now back managing the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. AJ Hinch is back with the Tigers. There was really no discipline because it wasn't even a full season.
Yeah.
Players were never disciplined. Players were never disciplined either.
I don't think that makes that big of a difference. You know, you have to already be a baseball fan to care about that issue. You know, it's difficult. See, where Major League Baseball is losing is not necessarily as a sport. You know, people like yourself, people like me, I'm not going to stop watching baseball unless it continues to deteriorate as a product. And when I say that, I'm talking about the swings, the misses. And thank you, Ryan, from calling from Charlotte. Sorry to rush you, but I got a lot of people here. Unless we literally get to a place where every game looks like a home run derby. And sometimes that's what it seems like. But the issues with Major League Baseball, it's not for the diehards. It's for the casual fan. It's for what you said. You can take out baseball equipment into a community, and the kids look at it and go, I ain't swinging that. I'm going to go stand out in the outfield and do what? And watch? No. And so it's a difference. You think about baseball historically, it's been a pastime. What the hell else were you going to do? Realistically, what else were you going to do? The 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. It's not a coincidence that as we've moved forward in time and people have more options, that something that was a pastime is probably past its time.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Damn it, somebody from Major League Baseball was mad at me. Somebody tried to pull the cord, man. Y'all ain't stopping me. I shut up when I feel like it. I don't know what they did, but I'm back. I'm back here with you. Keep spitting the damn truth. Let's keep this rolling. If you're a little confused about what we were talking about, we were having a conversation on Major League Baseball. The fact that they are killing their own business in the long term, especially when it relates to player manipulation, service time manipulation. We heard from Ryan Howard. He was here with us last hour. He talked about the fact that it is all business. The players need to look out for themselves the same way that the owners look out for themselves. It's just business. And I agree that it's business. But from the owner's perspective, they're like shooting themselves in the foot. Eventually, you ain't going to be able to walk. You can walk a little bit, but eventually it's going to hurt enough where you just going to crumple and fall. And so Major League Baseball has so many issues that it has to address. One of them, the players bring up the best players. The fact that you're not bringing up the best players because you don't want to pay them now, or you want to hustle them later and squeeze the most out of them, is that a good business practice to save money? Yes, it is. But in the long term, is it the best option? No, it is not. Gerrit Cole of the New York Yankees, he agrees.
if you start to play with the beginning of that bell curve, right, so that you can maximize what it is, and you're only doing that strictly to be more efficient business-wise, that's just frustrating. I don't have an answer on how to fix it. I think it's bad faith. Those conversations are being had in a lot of clubs, unfortunately, and that's the kind of way a lot of clubs are acting. And I don't know if there's a rule that's going to be able to fix that, because somebody would just probably find a way around that rule. But like, as an industry, I'd like to just see us move past that. That's just not productive for anyone. It's not productive for the product. You're not putting the best players on the field for people to see. This guy's talking about players that are making him money. Like, the product is the people that he's talking poorly about. Like, it's just nobody wants it. It's just tired. It's tired, man. Like, and I think players are over it. And if they haven't like been awakened to like that type of behavior, like that's what goes on. So I don't really know how to fix it. I just know I don't like it.
Yeah, let's instead of allowing Magic Johnson to play in that first year with the Lakers, hey, Magic, go sit down over there. Go play on the beach for a little while before you come this way. Hey, who's that? What's that guy over there? What's his name? Kurt Warner, you've been around the block a lot, right? Yeah. You used to bag the groceries. Oh, yeah, you're not good enough. Just stay on a practice squad. Oh, LeBron James? Oh, he's so good, right? High school? Yeah, we can't have him in the NBA. If we bring him up now, then we have two more years we can squeeze out of him. But he's the best. Just put him over there. Save us some money in the long run. Ridiculous concept by Major League Baseball. A sport just spiting itself all over the face or place. John is calling here from Charlotte. John, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. Hey, I've been listening intently to your conversation, and it's real relevant to me because I work in an industry that's heavily unionized. And I don't have a union on my property, and we're advocating for it. And I was told by an airline CEO one time, you get what you negotiate. And my point is, baseball players need, on one hand, they need a stronger, more cohesive union. But I just statistically looked at the numbers in viewership. From 1978 to present day, they've gone from 44 million viewers a year to like 10 million. So I really see they're not negotiating from a point of strength. Does that make sense?
Yes, but that's every single industry. You can, because let's be real. People aren't parked in front of the televisions anymore. People are in phones. People have options. But I will agree with you on the union part. A lot of where Major League Baseball makes its money right now is from its television contracts. It can net almost $2 to $3 million a year just off of an individual deal with an entity like Turner Sports. And the fact is, they can run that money up. Sports, live sports, still has a major value because it's must watch. It's appointment viewing. If we're watching a game, everybody's watching it on Sunday night. By the time we get to work on Monday, whenever we all get back to work, on Monday, it's what's done is done, and there's a new game. But as it relates to Major League Baseball and its union, yeah, their union needs work. And this is something that the players will have to eventually accept as well. It'll be difficult to do so. Because when you think about some of these contracts that players are bringing in right now, or Fernando Tatis, 14 years, I think 320, 330, 340. You think about Mike Trout, a contract north of 400. Okay, Mike Trout can make, 30 plus a year. But then you got other players in the league who are just getting beaten. We got a lot of players in Major League Baseball who are not signing deals until training camp because teams are just like, hey, I just gave away this dude a $32 million contract, and I'm just going to squeeze you for the little that's left. And the players do not want a salary cap. Why? Because obviously they don't want to limit the amount of the contracts. They don't want to stop, you know, the Mike Trouts and the Fernando Tatis Juniors from getting those big deals. But at the same time, it cuts off the legs of the lower end players. And I guess you want to try to find things in the middle. So it's going to be difficult to kind of walk that dog back. That's a difficult thing. That's something that the union is going to have to explore. That's what makes this situation even trickier. I appreciate you, John.
Emphasize one other point, JR.
Quickly, go ahead. Absolutely.
Okay. The lower end players, they're similar to any union. They're paid at a lower scale. And I think it's up to the players on the higher that with seniority and with tenure and, you know, the Bryce Harpers to look out for the guys on the bottom that are up and coming.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm, well, absolutely. That's my point. That's what makes it difficult. Because if you got guys, if the top of the scale, if the ceiling right now is oh my God, almost $500 million, well, everybody ain't making that. But is the guy who's making $500 million, is he going to lean back and say, oh no, I gotta scale back a couple hundred? No, you can't walk that back a lot of times, John. Thank you for calling from Charlotte.
Good topic.
No, thank you. This is the thing. I think it will be naturally corrected. This is what I think it will ultimately boil down to. And I'm not here just making stuff up. There's a realistic possibility that the salaries get adjusted, not by a salary cap, but when the television networks decide, oh, I ain't paying $3 billion a year for this. Two. That may actually have to come in the next CBA. That might actually mean, who knows, another 5, 10, 15 years from now, depending on how long this or the next CBA is. This is the last season that Major League Baseball is going to be active with this collective bargaining agreement. They got to figure out what the next 7 or 8 years looks like. And I think after that 7 or 8, that will be the tricky part. Because these current deals, the TV deals that they're signing right now, yeah, that's when they expire. Brian is calling from South Carolina. Brian, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. Do you know who the Greek god of walks is? Kevin Youkilis.
Well, yeah, he doesn't play anymore, but go ahead.
No, he doesn't play anymore, but my point is when the Red Sox were winning the World Series, he was making his minor league contract of $300,000 a year. My father at the time was a doctor, made roughly the same amount of money, and I was picking on my dad because I'm like, well, look, he's out here. Millions of people are adoring him. He's doing all of this stuff. So the Red Sox took advantage of Kevin Youkilis, and they kept him on the minor league contract way longer than he should have been. Eventually he goes to the Yankees and he gets paid. So what Major League Baseball is doing is absolutely exploitive. But something that probably the average listener on the radio doesn't know, that my friend was drafted by the Royals in like the 30th round. I went to the University of South Carolina when they won back-to-back national championships. He was out in Arizona in summer ball, whatever, and he screwed up his arm. If you have an injury like that in minor league baseball, we'll send you back to college with a $50,000 scholarship. So he was already on a full ride to the university for academics. So he made $50,000 in scholarship money because he was already on the full ride. So he made more money getting injured and retiring from baseball than he ever did actually playing.
Yep.
I believe he made $225 a week out there in Arizona.
Yep, sounds normal. I mean, we've heard horror stories about players in the minors. You know, not everybody playing baseball, quote unquote, professionally. Everybody ain't getting called up to the show. There's a lot of people who unfortunately have to toil and toil out a dream. Now, it is a choice. And nobody's forcing anybody to go ahead and chase a dream to play. But for people who have a realistic possibility of turning baseball into an entire life and career, yeah, they can end up on the short end of the stick. Brian, I appreciate you for sharing that perspective and that of your friend.
I'm playing baseball, quote unquote.
Dennis. Let's try to get Dennis here from Michigan. Dennis, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I just wondered, I'm not sure if this is a question or a statement for you, but to me there's a third party, and I agree with you. The owners have manipulated the players so often, so badly, that the players absolutely have no trust in ownership at times, which is an issue in itself. But I sometimes I feel like the agents who are supposed to represent the players, they try to get a player like, you know, Fernando Tatis, this huge contract, and they get a big chunk of that themselves at the expense of, you know, players, your second or third tier players that fill out the roster. So you get two or three players that get these huge contracts, like you say, more than even some other teams, and then that leaves another player, because there's not a salary cap or something, to get far less. And I think sometimes the agents, they play the players against the owners for their own benefit. So I'm just wondering, I guess, in your view, is there a third party here that we're really not looking at that stops baseball from getting to where it needs to go?
You're implying that agents have to take up a share. And I hear you. Why? Why do you think that?
Like Scott Boras, who can manipulate not only players but teams to his own financial benefit. And to him, let's say the salary cap was a potential solution. He's not going to allow that, and he's going to tell all his clients, "Don't go for it, because it's going to cost you money in the long run."
Well, absolutely. Well, sure.
I'm just saying, is there not a third party we need to deal with?
An agent is an intermediary. The agent is there to give advice. The agent is there to be an advocate. The agent is there to handle the negotiations. The agent is there to handle the legal aspect. The agent is there to get you the best possible deal and provide you with the best information possible to make a decision. The agent isn't supposed to be the primary, integral part. You speak of Scott Boras. Well, one of his clients, Michael Conforto of the New York Mets, has said and made it clear, hey, he works for me. Now, technically, we have some agents who are very good at what they do, like a Boras, who can be manipulative, who can be salesmen, who absolutely, yes, look out for your best intention if your goal is to make the most money possible. And he can do that too. But the buck ultimately stops with the union, the players as a collective, and then the owners and what they agree to. And you know what? All of the agents, whether it's a Scott Boras or a CAA or whatever the case, they're gonna have to suffer or take their medicine just like everybody else if the finances in baseball, you know, move in a direction that nobody wants, whether it be the owners or the players. So yeah, the agents are influential. The buck doesn't stop with them. They're just along for the ride, if you ask me.
And that's all I wonder, because sometimes, you know,
okay,
and I can understand the team saying, hey, we just paid Fernando Tatis all this money.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, we can only pay you this much, they could pay more. But
I wouldn't. The players have the collective power if they want to implement change. It's just about whether or not they can get on the same page to do so. Thank you, Dennis. I got to hit the news break.
Thank you.
I appreciate you for calling from Michigan. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. More of your calls, more stories before I roll out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Man, my last segment before I got to roll out. Ain't no doubt about that. We have a caller who's been anxiously waiting to get on the line. I want to take this caller. I'll take anybody else who wants to get on the line. And then, kind of fill you in on a few things. All right? So let's go right now out to Wisconsin. Let's talk to Skyler. Skyler, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, JR, how's it going? Big fan of the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I think there's actually a program in place that if the players' union decided they could get creative with, that this could help them a lot. And I think that's the Rule 5 draft. Now, obviously, we know the Rule 5 draft, you know, guys that have been in the minors for a long time can get picked up by another team, and they got to be on the Major League roster for the whole season or they return back to that team. But let's say instead of a 5 years in the minors or something like that, if you change from a Rule 5 to like a Rule 2 or Rule 3 draft, that would prevent some of these teams from stockpiling these farm systems and keeping guys down in the minors and manipulating service time. I think that's one creative way they could try to bargain to fix the situation a little bit.
So the Rule 5 draft is complex in and of itself when they hold it in the wintertime. And so I would be lying to you if I were able to tell you about how any adjustments could protect or prevent a team from just stockpiling players. I actually believe it's larger than that. And the issues are so complex, like what you just said about a Rule 5 draft. Things like that are so complex. Those are the type of things that make Major League Baseball difficult to a certain degree, because all of it seems to be manipulation. I mean, we have players across the world. One of our callers wanted to point out, like, oh, well, what about the people overseas who watch baseball? Great. Good for them. We love it. Good. But that doesn't do anybody any good domestically. Major League Baseball, teams have to pay posting fees to even have talent come in. And it's ridiculous to a certain degree, Skyler.
Yeah, I agree with you there for sure. I don't know. I think that's one area, though, that if they dug into it, they might be able to get an edge. I don't know for sure, but I just think it's an avenue that's unexplored, and I think it might be worth looking into.
Sure. Well, listen, they need to explore every avenue possible. Thank you, Skyler, for calling up from Wisconsin. Nah, it is Major League Baseball has to try a whole lot. You know, look, the World Baseball Classic ain't getting it done. To be honest, something like the World Baseball Classic, I don't believe I've watched that since the first year it was implemented. And at this point, I think the first year might have been, like 2004? It's been a long time. And it's just like, okay, you guys want to market and you want to go ahead and do the World Series or the World Cup of baseball, but it ain't really that. I'm looking at it. 2006 was the first year of the World Baseball Classic. That's the last time I watched it, was in 2006. And I sure as hell have a great interest in seeing what's going on, but it ain't got no juice. Major League Baseball is just lacking all over the place. One of the callers said, well, do less games. Like, no, they don't want to give up the money. They want to give up the gate. They don't want to give up the television money. Less games equals all of that. They're going to drive themselves faster into the ground by doing that. And speaking of less games, if you go on over to the NFL, it's actually being discussed right now that the NFL expands as early as this upcoming season to 17 games. They're allowed to do so if they want. Last year, like right before things got pretty shaky with the pandemic and things started to shut down, if you don't recall, the NFL and the Players Association, they agreed to their own new collective bargaining agreement that will take them through the next almost 8-9 years, 2030. And one of the conditions is that eventually the NFL can move towards a 17-game slate. If they do it this year, this will actually be the first time the amount of games that the schedule's been changed since 1978. They would reduce the amount of preseason games from 4 to 3 to make up for that additional game. And eventually, they may try to take away preseason completely. They may actually try to boost it past 17, but that's what it's looking like right now. We have to see if that actually takes place. You know, obviously, the concern is, and that something that we've heard from players in the past, was, damn, you want to give us another game? And I guess, and this is something I would start to ask every player, what does 17 games mean? Are we going to see more injuries that last week? Players have conditioned their bodies to go 16, and it's a one game in August that you don't play in versus an extra game in December or January. It's going to make a little bit of a difference now, isn't it? And so that's really something that the NFL is going to have to look into. I want to ask super producer Stu Kovacs here, what are your thoughts, Stu, on if the NFL were to add a 17 game? It's good for watching, I guess, but I don't know how into it the players will be, but they went for it.
Yeah, I just think it's obviously a clear money grab at this point, which I guess for their standpoint is understandable. But from a viewer standpoint, I think the 16 is fine. It works perfectly with the schedule. You play the division team six times. You play the, NFC plays the AFC four times. It just works. I think adding a 17th game will just overcomplicate the schedule. And almost like less is more, we love football because it's only 16 games. We love college football because it's only 11 or 12 games. Once you get into playing more and more games, I just feel like it waters it down a bit.
Yeah, it does dilute things. I've been used to the 16 just like you, Stu, and a lot of other folks. I just hope that this doesn't have an adverse effect on some of the players. If you're a running back, and running backs tend to start breaking down as the season goes on, we now see situations where we have two running backs out there. What the hell does a 17th game do for someone like Derrick Henry? I guess nothing. I guess his ass will keep on running. I mean, I'm not mad at the idea of shortening the preseason. Who the hell? Let me correct myself. There are a lot of people who watch every snap, every minute of preseason. If there's nothing going on, I will most certainly have it on kind of in the background. But the players aren't even invested into it. The teams are basically running, you know, the preseason games, especially when you get down to the last one, it's just like a glorified scrimmage. Let's send the also-ran, almost made it, trying to make it players out there. Maybe a couple of the real guys that we're going to have on a roster can break a sweat. But there's no need to have your superstars out there for four preseason games. Especially right now, NFL players, and this might be to their detriment, you got a lot of dudes who are just going a million miles per hour all year long. They're not giving their bodies full amount of time to actually rest, to recuperate. It's get bigger, get faster, get stronger. By the time you get to a full 16-game slate, a lot of these dudes done fell apart. Everybody except for Tom Brady, of course. Tom Brady just keeps on doing Tom Brady things. And as we said last night, as general manager Jason Light of the Buccaneers said last night, yeah, let's just go ahead and expand or extend Tom Brady's contract. He said he wants to play past 45. Well, let's give it to him. Let's give him an extra game a season. Let's give Tom Brady 17 games to continue annihilating the record books. To go out and now, you know, potentially move way past Drew Brees in touchdowns and yards. Let's give Adrian Peterson another shot or opportunity to, you know, maybe move closer to Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith, we spoke to him a few weeks ago. He said, yeah, my record is made to be broken. Someone will eventually do it. I don't see nobody doing it now, especially the way they treat these running backs. And so 17 games in the NFL. Yeah, whenever they make that official, that will be something to get used to. Now, I guess that gives Jimmy Garoppolo pretty much an excuse to miss another game. But I'll save Jimmy Garoppolo for another day. This has been a hell of a conversation tonight. We really went through the business aspect of sports. We started off with Russell Wilson and putting the Seattle Seahawks on notice. I don't think he'll be traded. We briefly talked about social media and, you know, Andre Johnson of the Texans saying the players, we got to look out for ourselves. Deshaun needs to look out for himself. He regrets not being more selfish in that regard. Ryan Howard joined us, former National League MVP. He said the players also need to look out for themselves because owners do it for themselves. It's just the facts. I'm going to encourage you to do the same damn thing. Look out for yourself. Because if you don't look out for yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. That's a real simple thing. It's been a pleasure hanging out here with you tonight. Look, you know where to find me. I'm on all social media at JR Sport Brief. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You follow me on Twitter. If you missed a minute of the show, I just tweeted out the entire show rundown. You can also do this. It's real simple. Download the free radio.com app. You won't miss a thing. Don't miss me too much while I'm gone either. A big thank you to everybody who called up. A big thank you, a huge thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs. And thank you once again to Ryan Howard for joining us. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move. Amy Lawrence, she's up next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.